Our next speaker is actually Loretta Kegler-Kroll, who will be joined by Al Vega, and both of them are from the Boston Healthy Homes and Schools Collaborative, which is a Boston coalition of asthma stakeholders. And please come up and give us your presentation.
Good afternoon. My name is Loretta Kegler-Kroll, and I am with Health Resources in Action. I am joined by my colleague, Al Vega, who is with MAFCOSH, and we have nothing to disclose. So the Boston Healthy Schools Initiative is a program that is part of the Boston Healthy Homes and Schools Collaborative, and our focus is advocating for healthy schools. And we focus on both the areas of healthy homes and healthy schools. Today we're going to talk about our Healthy Schools Initiative and give you some information about the progress we have made developing an environmental health policy for the Boston Public Schools. So I'd like to acknowledge our partners in this initiative, Jill Carter, who is the director for the Boston Public Schools Wellness Department, Khadijah Brown, who is the director for the Boston Public Schools Facilities Maintenance Department, and also we'd like to acknowledge Maureen Stark, who is the assistant director of nursing for Boston Public Schools, and Tolly Graham, who is the director of the Healthy Schools Initiative at MAFCOSH. And all of these organizations are represented here in this list of key partners. We also partner with the Boston Public Health Commission, and together we are the Boston Healthy Schools Task Force, and we'll give you a little background and history on our collaborative relationship within the Boston Healthy Schools Task Force.
So I'm from MAFCOSH, the Massachusetts Coalition for Occupational Safety and Health. We were founded in 1976, really as a way to promote healthy workplaces and ensuring that communities in eastern Massachusetts are informing workers through education, coalition building, advocacy. We are primarily focused on immigrant workers as well as low-income residents kind of exposed to a disproportionate amount of hazards such as toxic chemicals, poor indoor air quality, and asbestos. MAFCOSH has a couple of programs, our Immigrant Worker Center. We also have our Teens Lead at Work program. It's a peer leadership program that focuses on safety and health for young workers, as well as the Healthy Schools program. We've also played an integral role in helping to lead and create coalitions with community, environmental, and labor groups that ensured the passage of certain laws, such as the Right to Know Law, Toxic Use Reduction Act, the Whistleblower Act, Children and Families Protection Act, regulations on school siting, the Mass Building Authority regulations, child labor reforms, and we've also recently helped to pass a temporary temp worker right to know law. We're part of the Boston Healthy Schools Task Force, which also includes the Boston Public Health Commission, the BPS Medical Services Department, the Facilities Department, the School Wellness Department, as well as both the teachers and janitorial unions.
And just quickly, a little background on Boston Healthy Homes and Schools Collaborative. Boston Healthy Homes and Schools Collaborative is formerly the Boston Urban Asthma Coalition. In 2010, the Boston Urban Asthma Coalition merged with the Lead Action Collaborative so that we could more holistically address indoor air quality in both the home and school environment and be able to do advocacy work around policy development for communities that are at particular risk here in Boston. So, why indoor air quality? Why is that our priority right now, and why have we decided to focus on healthy schools? Gonna need my glasses, sorry. So very recently, the Federal National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institutes put forward evidence-based guidelines for effective asthma management, and one of their key recommendations is to reduce exposure to indoor environmental asthma triggers, such as mold, dust mites, pests, pesticides, hazardous cleaners, and disinfectants, and exposure to environmental tobacco smoke in indoor environments, particularly in multi-unit housing developments. So the Boston Healthy Schools Project builds on the Boston Healthy Homes and Schools and Boston Urban Asthma Coalition and MassCosh's collective expertise and experience in working with stakeholders in Boston to impact indoor air quality in schools and home settings. So one of the leading causes of absenteeism, both among students and school staff, is exposure to indoor air quality irritants, and it affects their allergies as well as asthma. And so we wanted to ensure that if both students and staff are spending 90% of their time in indoor air environments, we want to ensure that those indoor air environments meet the recommended standards for indoor air quality.
Just going to give a little bit of background on the Boston Public Schools. So the Boston Public Schools is the oldest school district in the country, and it's home to existing building of all ages. So it's critical that sustained resources, innovative programs, and an ongoing focus dedicated to designing, upgrading, and maintaining all school buildings and grounds to fulfill the whole school health and wellness goals. Boston has one of the highest asthma prevalence rates among cities and towns in Boston at about 10%. For children under the age of 18, this number increases to close to 15%. In Boston, rates of asthma, hospitalization, and emergency department visits for children are 2 to 3 times the statewide average, and children 0 to 4 have an even higher hospitalization rate at about 12.1%, which is more than any other age group, and this was based on statistics in 2010. Low-income and minority populations, particularly blacks and Latinos in Boston, suffer disproportionately from the disease with higher hospitalization rates, frequent use of urgent care, missing school, work days, and other loss of quality of life. BPS students are primarily children of color, with about 74% qualifying for free or reduced rate meals, and there's an overall asthma rate of 15% based on the 2010-2011 BPS asthma report. So we know asthma is the number one chronic condition treated in the BPS, and students have one of the highest incidences of asthma-related sicknesses in the state as well. I would also like to mention that as part of that report, we also know that 5% of, on average, are using over 1,000 doses of prescribed rescue medication per month. This data also shows that BPS students are frequent flyers to the school nurse or health office due to the asthma-related illnesses. So it impacts their overall physical, academic, social, and emotional development. Another fact about the BPS is that many of the BPS families meet federal low-income guidelines, so they don't really have the option of sending their children to a healthier school and really advocating for improved environmental conditions and asthma-related health care services in the BPS is really their only recourse.
So just to take a step back and talk a little bit about our approach, Boston Healthy Homes and Schools Collaborative has a program called the Strengthening Voices Parent Asthma Leader Program. And to go back to 1997, parents began to contact us and tell us about some of the concerns they had about the environment in their children's schools. And based on the concerns raised by parents, the then Boston Urban Asthma Coalition decided to create a training program that enabled parents to better understand the connection between the environment and health outcomes. And we were particularly concerned with children who have diagnosed allergies to some of the environmental asthma triggers that were mentioned. So our approach is really focused on putting parents at the center and enabling parents to bring some of the tools that they've acquired through the training program into their relationships with school staff. And so we formed a group of parent asthma leaders who began to implement the evidence-based tools for schools framework that was developed by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency in order to share with their teachers and staff at the schools some of these evidence-based approaches to improving indoor air quality in schools.
So this is a graph of the Boston Public Schools environmental audits, which is now a requirement in the BPS. So each of the 138 schools in Boston are required to have at least one annual audit of the overall, of all classrooms in the school building and grounds. So this particular graph shows what the results were like from 2004, 2005 to about 2011. And so just going to point out some of the things that you can notice about this particular graph and as time has gone on. So as you can see, repairs and leaks have always been an area where we've made a little bit of progress, but it seems to be on a steady increase, and that is directly connected to the reduction in overall budget for maintenance and capital repairs in the BPS. Back in, I believe it was 2007, there was an emphasis on decluttering spaces, so you can see that there was an increase from 2006 to 2007, but then it has decreased up until 2010, and again, we're starting to see an increase in that a little bit, but not on the level that we saw back in 2007. The other key area that I think is important to point out is the improper chemical storage. As you can see, that is one of the areas that we've seen a steady decline, and that's primarily because the BPS passed a green cleaners policy, and so they wanted to ensure that there were less toxic chemicals in the school buildings, and so you can tell that that has gone down significantly since 2004, 2005.
And again, we have this data because Boston is unique in that there's a city ordinance in place that requires that all Boston public school buildings have an environmental audit performed, which is really an inspection for environmental hazards. This is an ordinance that really was not adhered to up until about 1997 when the Boston Urban Asthma Coalition and, of course, key partners MASCOSH really organized parents around advocating with the Boston City Council that this ordinance be adhered to, and that is really how the Boston Healthy Schools Task Force was formed. It's a partnership between the Health Commission, the city councilors who were proponents of the ordinance, and the specific departments within Boston Public Schools, as well as the community partners who joined MASCOSH and HRIA. So because we are able to look at the results of the annual inspections, we have a starting point for our efforts in the schools and at the district level policy development. And again, we had a lot of staff buy-in. We always think about the children and the importance that they have optimal learning environments, but it's also important to keep in mind that schools are a workplace, and staff have a longer tenure in these environments than most students. And so keeping staff and their concerns at the center and giving them a voice and our determination of priorities at the individual school level was very important. And we had tremendous buy-in from staff, particularly the school nurses and the custodial staff.
So back in 2008, the Boston Urban Asthma Coalition put out a report called Who's Sick at School, kind of linking the environmental conditions and health disparities for Boston's children. So some of those findings that we found out, again, this wasn't scientific research, but what we found out was that many of the schools with most problems had also the most vulnerable populations. Again, we found out that the environment directly affects their ability to learn and stay in school, and that there was kind of an unclear kind of decision in terms of what those causes were, so we weren't able to find that directly through the report. And ultimately, this report is being turned into a journal article in the New Solutions, and it's being published, I believe it's in the next month or so. It's going to be part of the 2013 The Toxic Schoolhouse, which is a work, health, and environment series.
So again, we found the U.S. EPA Tools for Schools framework immensely helpful in translating these best practices into really action-oriented ways to organize individual schools. So not only were we looking at how do we educate school staff and parents and families and caregivers about the connection between environmental conditions and health outcomes, in particular asthma outcomes, but we wanted these best practices to be sustainable. And utilizing the Tools for Schools framework enabled staff to really retain these best practices and organize them in a way that it fit into the school's infrastructure. So some of the results of the strategies that were adopted district-wide within BPS to improve environmental health conditions in the schools included providing the education and training in environmental hazards for staff, parents, and caregivers. We also facilitated the development of children's environmental health committees, which are 6 to 8 members of both school staff and families who come together on a monthly basis or weekly basis to utilize some of the tools that are included in the Tools for Schools toolkit, which include classroom assessment checklists, instructions on how to conduct an entire school building assessment, and more recently we've been able to adapt the Tools for Schools framework to also include checklists for outdoor spaces. So it's really about utilizing this evidence-based approach and contextualizing it to meet the needs of the individual school and also being able to apply it broadly across the entire district. Another important point to mention is that it was important that schools understand the existing laws that apply to them around environmental health. I think that there is a disconnect, and we have found that there's a disconnect between having the information available and having people understand it and apply it. And so it was important that we educate folks about integrated pest management. We didn't need to advocate for new policies around integrated pest management because it's the law in Massachusetts, but we needed to make sure that all Boston Public Schools were in compliance with the law. And that's also the case with green cleaners and tobacco-free environments. Although there's a lot of room for policy development around tobacco and tobacco-free environments, there are existing laws pertaining to schools that just needed to be enforced, in particular in outdoor spaces.
So additional kind of strategies or the platform for kind of improving environmental health conditions in the BPS was the idea to have nurses in every school. And unfortunately, I could say, again, due to budget cuts, that has not been the case. We've also participated, again, in this community citywide Healthy Schools Task Force. We've ensured to be able to advocate for at the Boston City Council to prioritize that capital repairs that will ultimately improve environmental health. And so this is Tolly Graham back, I think it was in 2007 or something. She's yelling at city councilors alongside a parent and a teacher. Also, part of those strategies were to kind of be able to conduct an independent report on school conditions and overall costs. Develop and promote central environmental policies applicable to all BPS settings, and also to be able to refer families of BPS children with uncontrolled asthma to the Boston Public Health Commission's Healthy Homes Visiting Program.
Again, just a little more information about what is a healthy school and what is ideal, what is possible, and where do we begin to get there. One of the most important things that we needed to understand is what already exists. What are the existing policies that need to be better utilized and better understood and implemented at the individual school level? How can we as a community organization help the individual departments within the school increase their capacity to deliver health and mental health, but more health-related services? Providing asthma education. There is an audience out there. There are many, many parents who wish they had access to more information, and of course school nurses are one of the busiest staff members in any individual school. So being able to come in as an outside partner and provide asthma education with a certified asthma educator, in this case who was a part of our partnership through Boston Children's Hospital, was extremely important and a resource that the Boston Public Schools valued. and being able to track and monitor environmental conditions, again, utilizing the data from the annual environmental audits, was an incredible resource to be able to provide to parents. They just didn't know what the conditions were in their schools. And integrating it with the existing systems, making sure that the physical education instructors are aware of the connection between health and the environment, and also ultimately integrating it into the wellness policy for Boston Public Schools. And again, parents, families are at the center of our approach, making sure that their voice is heard, that they are at the table, and they are part of the process, leading the process, providing the solutions, and educating peers.
So some of the results of all of this work really has been the ability for us, the Boston Healthy Homes and Healthy Schools Collaborative and MassCosh, to work with the Healthy Schools Task Force to successfully develop and improve school policies and practices that will enhance overall health and learning environment for students and staff, with a special focus on a couple of issues. And so these here are specific policies, or what are called superintendent circulars. So again, focus on kind of asthma in schools, the green cleaning policy, integrated pest management, and mandatory recycling. Ultimately, the Healthy Schools Project has implemented school-based strategies in the BPS that help meet the needs of pediatric asthma patients, educating caregivers about asthma triggers and how to best manage asthma, and has helped to better link the school nurse and health services personnel with health care providers and strategies that support the goals of overall improvement of indoor air quality and asthma control.
Now that's a healthy classroom. So we're very happy to report that as a result of this collaboration with Boston Public Schools, the wellness department at Boston Public Schools has broadened their definition of wellness to include environmental health. And this year, for the first year, BPS has an environmental health policy in place. We are now happy to be partnering more with the Boston Public Schools to implement the new environmental health policy at the individual school level and then district-wide. Again, really focused on the relationships with school nurses and with custodial staff as key drivers in individual wellness committees at the school level to make sure that the best practices recommended in the policy are adhered to at the individual school level. And that's actually a quote from the new environmental health policy.
This is one of the tools that I helped create for the Trotter School, which is based in the neighborhood of Roxbury. Basically, the school nurse wanted to have some kind of visual that she could put in the teacher's lounge, kind of being able to give them a better way to kind of understand what are the things that they're doing to try to improve the school building conditions for students with asthma, which at this particular school, there was about 30% of the students had asthma. So this picture here just kind of shows, again, some of what clutter looks like, some of the non-approved cleaners, and the blocking of air vents. And so just kind of letting them know that we are making improvements to kind of ensure that students that do have asthma, as well as staff, are that there's strategies in place to ensure that the school building environment is the best that it can possibly be. And again, listing common asthma triggers, and then mentioning that the charter school also has an environmental committee that helps to monitor school conditions that affect health and asthma, work with BPS facilities to ensure that needed repairs are done in a timely manner, and overall just being able to promote best practices among staff and families to ensure a healthy environment. So this is something that's currently in the teacher's lounge at the charter school and is something that we'll continue to see if other schools are interested in having a visual like this to kind of help promote this kind of work.
And just another thing about the Trotter School. The Trotter School has really been a flagship program. It's really been an ideal example between community and school partnership. The nurse at the Trotter School, Margaret Rocchio, has done tremendous work just identifying resources and first making that initial connection, looking at the frequent flyers to her office, identifying what those environmental conditions are in the areas where children are getting sick, and then working working with teachers to assess the conditions and identify resources to address those conditions. So we're really proud of what's happening at the Trotter School. In fact, this year they were awarded the American Lung Association, I think it's the Healthy School Award? The Silver Award for just a regional example of what a healthy school should be. And so we're really proud of what Nurse Margaret Rocchio has done there and the partnership we have with the Trotter School. So again, we are also really focused on making the best practices sustainable through the creation of policy that reflects environmental health best practices. And again, we're happy that the Wellness Department has expanded their definition of wellness to include environmental health. We are focusing on implementing that policy at the district level and providing support to individual wellness committees who will, for the first time this year, be including environmental health in their action plan for the year.
So some of our keys to success or lessons learned is really, again, it's about being able to keep the community voice and health needs at the center of decision making, making sure that at the table you have community partners, nurses, parents, staff, really being able to all chime in and ensure that the decisions being made are what is best for the coalition or the school. We've also ensured that there's to provide an open forum and transparency with information sharing between all project partners, ensuring that we maintain respect for whatever city priorities and procedures are in place. Again, and then also being able to challenge both the city and the school department, but also learning how to advocate for resources, additional resources. So we've created a relationship with them that allows us to kind of push them on a few areas, but also understanding that there are resources that they need, so trying to figure out how we can best support them so that they can get those. And then, again, maintaining open, active communication with city officials as well as community members and stakeholders. Again, ensuring that everyone is being heard and that we're making the right decisions that will impact both individual schools and the district as a whole.
And just to Al's point, we were very intentional about not developing an adversarial relationship with Boston Public Schools or with the City Council. It was important that they understand that we are a partner. And so we also have advocated specifically for the Facilities Maintenance Department with City Council, where we see there is a threat to their ability to deliver the best practices that we recommend in terms of just their capacity and their staffing around some of the custodial issues and recycling issues. We want to make sure that they understand that we are also protecting their interests and their ability to deliver these best practices that we're recommending. So again, we consider the school district and all of its departments, as well as the Health Commission and the City Council, are partners in this effort. So in terms of ongoing challenges, again, having a policy is not enough. Creating the policy is not enough. The real struggle is in the implementation, and that is part of just having environmental health integrated well into the infrastructure of the school system. So there are some areas where we are looking to further deepen our relationship with BPS, which include developing an environmental health index, making sure that the new wellness policy is implemented in every school, and then just making sure that our environmental health priorities are integrated into the whole school improvement plans that Boston Public Schools adopts or creates every year. I think they have a whole new plan every year. And then we also want to make sure that the principals are on board as the folks who are accountable for the conditions of their school buildings. And just finding the time to educate principals is one of our biggest challenges right now. Or we have the time, the principals don't. Again, resources that are available. And we're going to hold questions to the end. Sure. Thank you.